I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Chugga chugga choo choo, everyone.
We are rolling into the station here with episode 11, I guess.
12. We're going to try to engineer a good one for you. And watch your butts, because this episode will hit you in the caboose.
This is the train heist I've been hearing about for a while. Excited to see this one.
Yeah, Meg, they've been teasing this train heist, I think, in like three separate occasions. Welcome to Breaking Backwards, the show where Meg's never seen Breaking Bad, and I've seen it a bunch of times, and we watch it in reverse order. This is episode 12, Dead Freight. Meg, did the train heist live up to what you've heard about it?
I had imagined something different. It was still very exciting to watch. I didn't realize how closely Drew Sharp and the train heist were hand in hand, I guess. So there's a lot of things that I found surprising in this. And but it was a very thrilling last 10 minutes of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. Did you like that music at the end where it goes like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- guys haven't heard this in a while, just watch that clip, and the music goes do 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 do, and I love it. I deleted my workout playlist, and it's just that.
Going like forward. Over and over again.
Just loop, just, and it's not even the rest of the song, just that one part.
It seems like it so came good. From like the Tron soundtrack or something like that. It's not like of this world. It's something
special. As long as
special.
It's not from a Tron Legacy. Oof. That movie sucked.
I have a favorite part of that movie.
Tron Legacy?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part about Tron Legacy?
My favorite.
Well, I want to hear it.
The favorite scene of mine in Tron Legacy is when Jeff Bridges, it's a flashback, and Jeff Bridges is facing like the other Jeff Bridges, and the Tron Jeff Bridges goes, "Flynn!" And he goes, "Yeah?" And then he goes, "Am I not the creator of the perfect system?" And then Jeff Bridges just goes, "Yeah." And I just thought it was an incredible... I think, it, listeners, look up that scene in Tron Legacy and you'll understand. I'm not doing it justice, but it's a pretty great performance by Jeff Bridges.
It sounds like you're doing it justice because I have no memory of this scene. but I'll remember this conversation for sure.
I'm going to definitely look it up and send it to you. I even watched it while I was in labor with my son, which was 8 years ago today because it's also his birthday.
It's Meg's son's birthday. Happy birthday, Meg's child.
Yes.
It's also we just found out it's also my brother's birthday. Same day.
You just found out it was your brother's birthday?
No, I know. I knew it was his birthday. I didn't ever put it together that my brother and your son have the same birthday.
Man. What was your brother doing 8 years ago?
8 years ago? What was he up to? That was 2012?
Yeah.
Then he would have been... He probably would have been, like, just around to meeting his current wife.
Oh, wow.
I think.
His current wife?
I don't know. His current wife?
As opposed to, like, he had a wife before that?
Well, like, this is his first one. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm from a family of divorce. People split up. I don't think they're going to, but anyone who's married that to a wife, that's their current wife.
That's fair. Okay.
Might be their forever wife, but right now it is their current wife. We are naive to think that most people have one wife.
No, you're right. I know that better than anybody. I've had so many wives. It's true.
Yeah, Meg used to roll with the wives.
I used to have a whole wife posse.
Oh, all right. Well, we should put on our jackets.
Oh, because it's so cold.
It's so cold. It's a cold open. Hold on.
Mm.
I'm in my closet, so let me put on my jacket. Okay. It's actually kind of a hotter cold open than normal.
It's a pretty steamy cold open, only on account of it's so hot in the desert, and we're...
Yeah, it's not, like, sexy hot. Definitely not sexy hot.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose steamy. That was a poor choice of words. it's a dry heat, really.
It's a dry heat, yeah.
But yeah, it's a pretty warm cold open, because, well, first it starts off pretty fucking rad, actually, because...
Oh, yeah, this kid's doing all sorts of tricks and shit.
Yeah, he's doing, like, he's getting airborne in the desert, and the one thing I didn't understand was that he just dead stops out of nowhere, looks over with a pained face, and then comes and crouches down and holds, like, a tarantula in his hands. It doesn't seem like he's like, oh, sick, cool, I found this. He's like, oh, fuck, a tarantula, what will I do? And then pulls out a glass jar from his jacket and then puts the tarantula in the glass jar, puts it back in his jacket, and then takes off again. None of which it seemed like he was like, the rarest specimen, I finally found my white whale. It's like he's like, oh, I got this spider, this is freaky, why am I keeping it, I gotta go. Like, I didn't think he was pumped about it.
I think maybe he's just a weird fucking kid, and he likes going to the desert to collect bugs, like a real-world Animal Crossing, and he's just like, oh, another day, another tarantula, great, I want to enslave all these fuckers, and he caught one, he's like, another one off the street, good.
That's true. I will say, I know weird kids, right, that like spiders. I've had weird kids in my son's classes when they're like five try to hand me little jars with spiders in them, and I freak out and run away, and I go, no, 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 no. So this kid didn't seem that way, but I don't know what that five-year-old kid looks like when he's 13, so maybe it's exactly this. I don't know.
So we've talked, a kind of running narrative on the show is my relationship with whether I want to have kids someday. Is it too late for me to have kids? We have talked about this.
We haven't talked. It's not like you're, you know, got a clock that's ticking down, though. You have, like, a good 35 more years.
Well, that's what we talked about. You talked me off the ledge on that a few episodes ago. I don't know if
you
remember.
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but that's one in the con column is I don't want to meet any of my kids' friends until they're, like, 15, I think. I don't, like, other little kids. No, I don't want to see them. Like, that story you just told me.
I will say there's some little kids that I really like, and then there's some little kids where I'm like, that kid is going to be a psychopath when he grows up. But then there's some kids who are like, this one's hilarious. I love hanging out with this one. Like, so, you know, it's just like regular people. I think a lot of people are psychopaths, adults-wise, and then there's a collect few that I'm like, or a select few, I should say, that I'm like, hey, I like this one. I'll hang out with this one. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Drew Sharp from Breaking Bad, who dies tragically, is a psychopath, we learn in the cold open of this episode. Still not good to kill him.
Yeah, just because he's a fucking little creep with the spider shit.
Weird, creepy kid, and he's probably going to put that spider in his babysitter's bed or something.
Why would he get the bed?
He was going to put that, he was going to home alone some shit with that spider.
That's true.
And he was going to go, look, Becky, and then... put it on her face, and she'd be like, I fucking hate this kid. I don't want to babysit this kid. So that's the cold.
Well, all right. So yeah, that is the cold open. He drives off.
It was kind of,
I
was chatting to Meg, cause when I watched this the first time, it was like a little like, jarring because you don't know who this kid is. This is the first mention of him. But for Meg, it was like, you've heard about this child who died tragically a bunch. Last episode opened with them, like, taking apart a dune buggy. I feel like it was maybe more effective for you than it would have been for a first-time viewer.
That's true of everything in this episode. But, yeah, I was finally like, oh, this is where we see Drew Sharp. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Here we go. But, yeah, this was definitely an episode. Just the open. I was kind of stealing myself for what was going to be a rough episode, but I didn't know, you know, like at what point when they're in the desert, Drew shows up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they literally save it till the very, like I had forgotten about it the first time I watched it, that little boy was at the beginning of the episode. Because it's literally just the very, 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 very end.
Yeah, he really just bookends, and he doesn't have a single fucking line. So he's not even an under five, I guess? I don't know.
We won't be talking about him. He's a featured extra at best.
I mean, technically, I guess he's a guest star, but...
Is he a guest star? Well, that's too good.
He does stunts on his dirt bike, which obviously, it's not him, but he has to know how to ride the dirt bike in order to...
That is fucking rad.
Yeah. So that's like, I think, some type of equivalent of hazard pay or specialty skill or whatever.
Right.
But either way, he's not an under five no matter what, and he never will be, and he should stop trying to front.
Yeah, quit acting, kid. His name is Samuel Webb. Knock it off. He's actually probably our age.
Yeah,
no,
Samuel
he
Webb
was not.
Would be probably 22 or 23 right now, maybe. I don't know.
This episode came out when I was a senior in college, so I guess he's probably, maybe he's in college now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Take our jackets off.
Okay. We're out of the cold open.
And then I think it goes right to Hank's office.
Yes. I had not realized that Hank had just very recently gotten this promotion to ASACS. This was interesting. They just bug him immediately, which is kind of funny. It's like, hey, great new office. I can't believe you're the boss now. Let's bug your office. Shit. That was kind of interesting. This also included more emotional manipulation from Walt, which is something that I makes my stomach
churn. You're a big
fan. No, I don't. It's that I don't like
it. You love it.
No, it's that I feel like you're not listening.
You always say nothing gets my rocks off than a man who uses emotions to manipulate me.
I love it when men cry at me in order to get me to do things. Yeah.
You love it.
And I like watching men do that to other men as well. It is kind of funny how you had pointed it out, how much of a dude Hank is, where it's like, oh my God, somebody's being something other than pissed off or just a-okay. I better close my blinds here. I can't be associated with this.
Hank can't deal. he does not. A grief counselor he would not make.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's a ASACS and not
he's a sack.
He's a sack. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A tight little sack.
I don't know why I think that's funny. I will be referring to him as a sack for a lot. Can you hear my stepdad right now?
I can hear him through my, yeah. I can't hear what he's doing. I just know he exists.
I don't know what he's doing either. He's in the other room doing dad shit.
Is he just telling jokes to nobody or what?
No, I think he's trying to sell a boat.
Oh, that sounds really like taxing and annoying.
Yeah. Or he's trying to fix our internet. I can't tell. I might be a weird stepson today because I woke up at like 11:30. I made breakfast and then we started recording this and we watched an episode before that. So now it's like 1:50.
No.
And I've not laid eyes on him today. I'll go say hi later. But all right, back to the episode. I'll cut all that out.
We see Walt bug the room. And then we also, in that conversation before he bugs the room, they're talking about having to keep an eye on Skylar, which I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I don't know if this is in relation to the supposed affair she had that's been mentioned a few times, which I think would be a little weird if, like, she's saying, like, I had an affair, and from now on, like, Walt's getting his employees to watch her or whatever.
I don't think it's quite that, but I have to be careful on what I say.
Yeah, I mean, I had other pretty unfounded theories, and I know we can't really speculate, but I thought that maybe she had done something that indicated to people that she was mentally unstable, but it was, like, the result of her feeling trapped in some capacity.
I will say next week is a big Skylar episode.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of that will be revealed.
Oh, great.
Next week. Because I think Skylar only had, what, one scene this episode?
I think so. She was just smoking away on that in that scene.
Brought back those cigarettes, which we love.
Yeah. Smoking lady. Because
that's her catchphrase. That's her dough. That's her dynamite. That's her thing.
What does, like, Joey Tribbiani say in Friends? Does he go, like,
doesn't he say, like, hey, we're friends, right?
Look at us, we're being friends.
We're a bunch of friends in New York. I have seen 10 episodes of Friends.
I haven't seen Friends in, I'm gonna say, 20 years, so.
I liked it. There's no reason I, like, chose to not watch it. I just never really watched it.
I think it was too popular, so I immediately avoided it because everybody seemed to like it. Because I'm that type of difficult pain in the ass. Yeah,
I don't have that bug. If something's too popular, it kind of makes me want to watch it more. I'm a little bit of a sellout.
Yeah.
But I it's because it's a show. a show like Friends is like a show I want to watch when it's on. I never want to seek it out.
That's fair.
So I'll never like binge Friends.
Yeah.
But if it's on, I'll be like, oh, Friends is on.
I don't know how you could binge multicam sitcoms, period.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
The only time I ever done it was How I Met Your Mother, and that kind of kicked me in the dick at the end.
I've heard that that was unsatisfying.
I actually liked it more than most people did, but it still wasn't that great.
I am a huge fan of multi-game sitcoms, but I don't think I could ever sit and just like make a day of watching it unless I was like, there was a purpose for it.
Meg, what's your favorite multi-game sitcom?
Oh, well, I really like Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown is pretty
interesting.
Great.
I've not seen a single episode of Murphy
Brown. Well, I think you would understand why I liked it if you watched it, because it's like Murphy Brown's just kind of like this badass lady who doesn't take shit from anybody.
Okay.
I like Mom a lot. Again, it's kind of like two women who are just big personalities.
With Anna Faris?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it good?
Anna Faris and Allison Janney. And actually,
I like Anna Faris a lot. And I like Allison Janney a lot.
So you probably like this show.
But I don't, it's a Chuck Lorre show, right?
Yes. But it's definitely, I think, one of his better, more realistic ones, where it's like...
Because he released 2.5 Men into the world, and I haven't forgiven him yet.
I think you might like Mom. It's about, I don't know if you want me to get into the plot, but it's about, like, three generations, though I hear, Anna Faris's daughter leaves the show in later seasons. It's about, like, Aniston Janney is Anna Faris's mom. And they both are, like, in AA. They're both, like, recovering addicts. And they're both teen moms as well. And her daughter goes on to become a teen mom as well. But they're just trying to get their lives together. The only thing that I find unrealistic about it is sometimes the women will refer to their vaginas in the way that men refer to their vaginas. And I literally have never been like, ooh, my vagina! Ooh, look at this thing! You know what I mean? I've never done that. I've never witnessed another woman do that at all. The way, like,
well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Mom and in Reverse, where we watch every episode of CBS's Mom in reverse order. Thanks for listening, and good mom
to you,
fair listener.
Yes. So back to Breaking Bad.
No, Mom sounds good. I'll check it out.
Cool.
My vagina will. Okay.
Walt's
well, he puts the
bugs.
Yeah, he puts the bug in, and then it kind of cuts right to them doing some United States Army shit against Lydia.
What would you call that? Like Guantanamo Baying Lydia a little bit? Like,
yeah, they Guantanamo Bay the shit out of Lydia.
They have her handcuffed in the basement of their warehouse, though you don't know that at first. And they're like, we're gonna kill you unless you call Schrader. And, you know, read this script. And if you fuck up at all, I'm gonna kill you. And Mike makes a very clear distinction between his gun and a pistol. And I didn't know what the difference was. I thought they were the same fucking thing, I guess.
They are. But I think he's just like, you were fucking listening? Because that's not, I didn't say gun.
Nah. Yeah.
This one seemed hard since you hadn't seen the episode prior. Lydia is a hookup for some methylamine, obvi, and she found a bug on one of the barrels.
Yes.
And they seem to think that she planted it there so that she could get out of helping them.
Okay. I didn't know that she had ever... I didn't know what this... Obviously, I don't know what the circumstances are that she agrees to help them before this episode. I didn't know Lydia had a daughter. She keeps talking about her daughter. That's the last time she mentions her daughter in the series, it seems like.
She doesn't seem like the best mom.
Yeah, I mean, she goes the whole rest of the season without talking about her kid one time. And then she does end up dead.
I have a daughter and I don't talk about her.
What's your daughter's name?
I don't want to talk about
her. Okay.
I don't want to talk about it. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to bring my... You talk about your kids on this podcast. That's a choice you made. I'm not talking about mine.
That's the only thing I can talk about is my perfect children.
You do have wonderful children. Guess my daughter? Not that great.
Really? Is it because of her friends, or is it her?
I don't like her friends. I don't like her attitude. I don't like her choice in clothing. And I don't like... she has, like, really bad political taste.
She's just got...
really bad.
How old is she?
I'm not sure. It's she's. I think she's nine.
Oh, and she's just got some really hot takes about it.
She's so pro-policing right now.
That's weird.
It's weird.
That's weird.
And I was like, I'm like, well, okay, but it's just, and I show her all this data and she's still like, she calls me a cuck.
A cuck boy?
And she calls me a cuck boy. She's like, I want to drink your liberal tears, cuck boy. It's my daughter. And so, yeah, I don't.
She sounds like she
I don't
sucks,
talk about her
man.
Either. She kind of sucks. I don't like her. She's so mean. She's really right wing.
Lydia's using her shitty daughter to try to get out of getting shot.
Yeah. Oh, if I was going to get shot, I would definitely bring up my daughter.
Yeah. You'd be like.
Is what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Okay. And then she calls Hank, gives a really good performance, but the bug doesn't reveal to Jesse and Walt and Mike what the information they wanted. So they still kind of suspect Lydia and they're still thinking about killing her. And then Hank reaches out to the Houston DA and it's revealed that the Houston DA put the bugs there and it isn't Lydia, but they're still like, maybe we should kill her. And that's when she's like, hey, I can get you a ton of methylamine. If you use this information, I can provide about a freight train shipment of it that goes through this area.
She has a great line delivery of an, oh, come on, when they say they still might kill her.
Oh, yeah, where she's, like, really exasperated, like, come on.
Yeah, like, come on, which is very fun. I like her. Her name's Laura Frazier. She's good.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's a good actress. Yeah.
I don't, like, it seems as though in this episode they may have introduced Jesse, or he had only been in one, or I'm sorry, Jesse Plemons, but Todd. It seems like Walt didn't know who Todd was before this, and I was, like, just so blown away that, like, they would introduce a character relatively important to the end of the show so close to the end of the show, you know?
Well, this isn't Todd's first appearance, okay. But because he says, he's like, your name's Todd, right?
He says, what's your name again? And he goes, Todd, yeah.
Yeah, which means they've met.
Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, no, Todd is, this is kind of, I can't say anything. I don't
know. Okay.
Jesse Plemons, good actor.
So then, they decide not to kill her, cause they're going to try to, or at least in the moment they decide not to kill her. And
we do know they eventually do decide to kill her.
She is eventually killed, but not for a couple more episodes.
Yeah, not for a couple, maybe like a calendar year.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
And then where do they go from there? They go, oh, are they at Hank's house or no?
Lydia saves her little butt by, this is where she kind of lays out the plan. And she says, like, I can get you an ocean of methylamine in exchange for the safety. And they bring about the freight train. This is where they give, like, their... draft one of the plan,
yeah,
which is where they're talking about, like, oh, we'll have to steal the whole car. We're definitely gonna have to, like, kill the engineers, and she will be able to, like, get them the manifest to tell them where everything is, and also that they'll definitely be in a 3-mile stretch of dark territory.
Yes. So all that information,
which is
go ahead.
Yeah, which is a train term.
Yeah, that's specific to trains and only trains, and we all know that.
Have you seen Under Siege 2, Dark Territory?
No. Is it about trains?
Well, it is. Under Siege 1, it stars, oh, why am I blanking on his name? Steven Seagal.
Oh, yeah.
Is a chef on a boat, and Tommy Lee Jones takes it over, and they're under siege, and Steven Seagal has to kick ass his way out of the boat.
Oh.
And then Under Siege 2, Dark Territory is the same thing, except for he's on a train and they're in dark territory. So they can't, like, call out of there. And Steven Seagal's with his, I want to say, niece, who's played by, what's the main lady in Knocked Up? Who
Catherine
people
Heigl?
Say is kind of mean in real life?
Catherine
Heigl. Yeah. Yeah. She's a very young Catherine Heigl is his, like, niece, and he has to kick ass his way off the train.
Oh, cool. I watched recently.
So, go check.
I watched recently Air Force One. It sounds a lot like Air Force One.
It's a worse Air Force One.
And Air Force One is already really bad, so.
Is Air Force One really bad?
Yeah, rewatch it. It's terrible.
I remember liking it. Oh, well, I like Harrison Ford more than Steven Seagal.
Well, I mean, rewatch it. I don't think you'll want to claw your eyes out. You'll just be like, this is kind of fucking dumb.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. I'll check it out. I'll get it on Blu-ray.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, but then, sorry, I'm on the Wikipedia. Yeah, then they cut to Walt, Hank and Marie, and Hank's playing with a baby, and you kind of got baby crazy here.
Well, I was like, just telling you how good I am with babies that are mine. I'm really good at
it. Oh, yeah, baby crazy is the wrong term. Baby braggy. You were kind of like shitting on every other mom.
I never brought up any other mom. I was just saying I'm really good with my babies. I love taking care of babies. Babies like me when I am their mom. Mm-hmm. I know how to take care of babies. I think it's something that you might not expect out of me. A lot of people don't expect me to have been a good mom to my babies, I think. But I'm pretty great with babies.
I expected you. I mean, you didn't tacitly say this, but you kind of had a vibe that, like, yeah, other moms fucking suck.
Okay.
They raised their babies wrong.
I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't shitty moms out there who did a worse job than me. I'm just saying I think I did a good job. My kids are, you know, alive and healthy.
You got good kids. They're better than my kids.
Yeah, your kids suck. And also, I was pretty blown away by this. Apparently, Skylar is still pumping because, like, Hank was like, when Marie goes to give Holly a bottle, he's like, this is some booby milk, right? Or something like that. This came from a tit, I think is what he said. And she's like, yes, of course. And he's like, this isn't some soy shit. And I was like, wow, is Skylar still pumping and dropping off breast milk? That's an undertaking.
Is that baby too old?
No. I mean, my son nursed until he, like, sometimes kids nurse until they're like 2.5. My son till 1.5.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
That's so late.
No, it's not. Like the
pediatrician still directly from the faucet, or after, at that point you just pump it and give it.
It just depends, because like the Pediatric Council of America recommends nursing children till age 2, exclusively. Like it's exclusively mm-hmm. until 1, and then you introduce solid foods, and then they breastfeed until however long they want. But yeah, no, that's how long you're supposed to do it. I've heard of like 5-year-olds still nursing. I wasn't going to do that, but
I don't like that.
I was surprised because Skylar seems like, I don't know why. I guess this is just the first time breastfeeding and breast milk have come up in this show. So I was surprised that it came up at all. That's all.
She knows how to run a business and run a daughter.
There you go. She's doing a good job.
And run the hell out of a cigarette.
Yeah, she can smoke like crazy. But then they start
She gets back to it in this episode.
Yeah, I was really excited to see that.
We're excited, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we talked about that already earlier on this episode of this podcast. My bad.
Well, we'll talk about it a third time, too. Yeah. But then they kind of start shitting on Flynn a little bit. And then Flynn comes out.
Oh.
And he's like, hey, I'm just going to get a soda. You can. Mm-hmm. And they're like, do you want lasagna? Do you want to watch Heat on Blu-ray? And he's like, no, fuck you. You can keep talking about me now. Bye.
You can keep talking about me now. Mm-hmm.
Felt bad for that.
Yeah. Kid. Yeah. He's going through some stuff. They called him Emo McGee. That was fun. they ordered Heat on a Blu-ray disc, not HD DVD, which I thought was going to be the winner of that war.
Did you really?
At the time. Here's the thing. I went to, because before Blu-ray, it was all about that DVD, right?
Yeah.
I remember going into a Best Buy, and my beloved DVD section was now cleaved into, and there was these red boxes and these blue boxes, and it was HD DVD or Blu-ray, and I said, sir, to a lady, and to help me out, it was a man. And I said, what's the difference between, what are these? And he said, oh, it's like a DVD, but it's in HD. And he used that to describe the Blu-ray and the HD DVD. And I thought, well, that's okay. Well, if we're going to be one, the HD DVD describes what it is.
Yeah.
And I would rather buy that. And so I went out that day and I bought 100,000 shares of HD DVD stock. And it didn't go well for me.
I think the only reason it won Blu-ray run was because it was like the default like player on a lot of like the second generation game consoles, right? Or the third generation.
Yeah, that's where they won, yeah. The only one I can think of was Xbox 360 came with a built-in DVD player, but you could purchase an add-on disk drive for HD DVD. But you had the PS3, and that just was straight up Blu-ray player, and people weren't, I mean, why would you buy an extra disk drive?
Yeah.
That's stupid. So, I don't know. I was wrong, and I'm sorry.
So then, once we leave Hank's house, where do we go? Oh, there are they back at Jesse's house, and are they brainstorming how to do it, I think?
I think then we go to... Fuck. Oh! We go to that scene where they're at Jesse's house.
Yeah, we're at Jesse's house. In the scene prior with, you know, Mike and everybody, they had decided that if they were gonna go for the big ocean of methylamine, they'd have to kill the train conductor and engineer. And in this scene, they're mm-hmm. kind of arguing about it while Jesse's playing with, I guess, his iced coffee and yeah. kind of staring into the middle distance. And then he goes like, yo, guys, you're better at this.
Oh, what? Aaron Paul, where are you? You're here.
Yo, guys, what if we could steal it without anyone knowing or something? I feel like that was closer to Jason from The Good Place than Jesse.
No, you do as good an Aaron Paul as I do. Holy shit. Yeah, no, he says, because Jesse doesn't like bystanders getting hurt.
I mean, that seems like a very fair, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And so he comes up, then it cuts to them, like, prepping at the train, like, site. And they have Todd there, and that's where they're like, let's explain everything we've come up to while the cameras weren't rolling.
Yeah.
In a digestible way for an audience. And they explain the entire plan to Todd.
Because, yeah, they measure out, like, and there's, like, a little bridge. And then they, yeah, Todd rolls up and they're gonna, and they're doing, like, construction where they're digging a hole. And then, yeah, Todd rolls up and is like, what about the water? What about the methylamine? Yeah. What about?
He's very much trying to poke holes in their argument. He's like, oh, good plan, sir. But won't they realize that they have diluted methylamine? And then Walt says, aha! China.
That is, I like that they are just kind of shitting on China there. That was kind of funny. And just that, like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't like that, but it is weird that they're like, we'll just blame, they'll blame China. They're not going
to ever
think that we had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So then, do we go?
Then it goes from there back to, Walt goes home. Cause I know that's just because when he is home, he has like dirt on his knees. Flynn is in his room studying.
Oh, for that test.
For that test. We all know it. It's the backbone of the show is Flynn's test that he has to take in the penultimate episode of the series. Yes. And so he's in there studying because he left his books there and he didn't have them at Marie and Hank's.
Flynn is very much like, tell me what's going on. What the hell? Mm-hmm. Why do I have to leave? I don't want to go anywhere. This isn't right. And Walter is like, no, you know, everything's cool, but you got to leave. And he's like, no, tell me right now what is going on. And I had a lot of sympathy for this poor 17-year-old kid who's got to, like, go live with his aunt and uncle who shit on him now, you know?
Well, I mean, they're pretty cool, aunt and uncle. They're getting Blu-rays for him and shit.
I know, but, like,
their house is nicer.
I get it, but, I mean, when he walks out to get his soda, they're like, that guy's a baby. And it's like, that sucks. I wouldn't want to hear my family talk about me.
Do you know what Walter could have done to get him out of the house a lot quicker?
What?
He could have just said, hey, me and your mom are going to goose. we're going to goose all over this house, and we've been doing it for days, and we just, it's Goose Fest 2013 or whatever. Yeah. And he would just been like, ew, and left. And
I thought the term goosing was when you came up and you like really got a handful of somebody's ass. But are you referring to goosing as
you used it in as a synonym for spoinkin the other day?
I think I meant grabbing somebody's ass real firmly.
Oh, I thought when you said, because you said, who would I rather goose? And I thought you meant like, you know, make love to.
Oh.
And
no, I just meant go and like get a handful of ass, whether at least suspect.
That's an that seems like an assault unless I know them. So I wouldn't want to goose any of them.
Well, I mean, you're saying you're gonna have sex. I don't know. I just think if we're gonna Let's frame it like this.
I like it as a term for spoinking.
Okay, well, if we're going to... So, okay. But whenever I've been, like, in a relationship, I've always been like, everyone has open season. It's goose season, everybody. We're going goose hunting.
And then they grab your butt?
Yeah, or I grab theirs because, you know.
Oh, wow. This is new. All right, well.
But we can refer to
still
it
works.
As a spoinking term. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It still works. He's like, we're doing a titled goose game. And we're running around just grab assing all up in here. And it's going to get wet. So that's why you can't be here,
contact
son.
Grab ass, yeah.
We're going to have to get a cleaning crew up in this bitch for when you can come back. I'm trying to make you another sister. Get out.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
So.
I'm sorry. People when they're married can have sex, audience. It's fine. Only people married.
Only married people. That's that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's how I could have gotten out of it. So, Walter's domestic issues, I always have a better solution. Because I got that. He can always get out of his stuff with Skylar by just saying, babe, what do you need? Every time. It'll work. So they should have, I don't know, I could be his coach.
I remember you had a bit a couple episodes ago where you were talking about how he should have just like smacked her on the ass in front of everybody and went like, that is my wife. Auga, I am
I don't
a
remember
lucky
that,
man.
But I bet I will.
Or something.
I don't remember that at all. That doesn't sound like me. That sounds like I was promoting some goosing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you were trying to say that he should show affection and, you know, I would like it. Maybe I'm just like from the 1950s, but I would love it if like my partner was like, look at that. Look at her walk, everybody. Maybe I'd hate it. I don't know. I'd have to, it'd depend on how I felt about my body that day. But, you know, like I would think it was hilarious if, you know, somebody that I was, you know, in a relationship with their married dude was like, look at my wife, awooga waga, like couldn't contain themselves.
I did that with an ex-girlfriend a few times and it felt like no one else liked it.
Oh, well, fuck them.
It felt like everyone else was like, shut up.
Did you do it in front of me?
I don't think I did in front of you, but other people.
I would have clapped and gone, oh, good.
Oh, okay.
Look at how much they like each other.
All right. Oh yeah, and so then he gets him out with the much harder way than the way I described,
which was just to be forceful, yeah.
Kind of be a dad. I don't know.
That's not fun.
It wasn't fun. And then Skylar, excited her son's gone, lights up.
She fucking just gets a cigarette in her hand, and she's like,
"Why am I calling her Skylar of all names? Smoking lady."
Smoking lady, and she's doing what she does best, being a lady who is smoking.
And there's like, it's a beautifully shot cloud of nicotine.
You can just tell she inhales, mm-hmm. and she takes a little moment to visit with God, and then she exhales, mm-hmm. and she also, as she exhales a nicotine plume of smoke, she also exhales her intention, which is to be kind of a little sass to Walter. It seems like she's recently transitioned from being kind of afraid to him. And now she's like, I'm going to give you a little bit of tude. This feels like mm-hmm. the first time she's kind of being a sass to him in a while for some reason. I know you can't confirm or deny that speculation, but it seems like she's mm-hmm. stepping into her power by being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, she said, it's like, I'm your hostage, and I'll do whatever you want to do, but just my kids can't be here. And I don't know, like I said, next week, a lot of Sky. We'll be talking about Smoking Lady a lot next week.
Sick. Will she be? Will she talk to On the Phone Lady at all, do you think?
Today?
No, I mean, like in the next episode. Because I don't understand when they exist outside of each other and they're not smoking and on the phone at each other, I can't comprehend the relationship.
It is weird. It is weird when they're not doing that. I think they will interact. This is maybe a spoiler. It's 100% a spoiler.
They don't say it. I can't know.
Well, no, it's not that bad. I'm pretty sure next week is, I'm just going to look it up real quick, an episode that Anna Gunn, who plays Skylar, won an Emmy for her episode next week.
Oh, okay. I thought that also happened for Ozymandias, though, or she was not.
Well, that's technically, okay, weird. Technically a different season. Because they were broken up in two, and they were in two different.
Anna Gunn won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actress for a performance in this episode. Yep.
That's good.
She has a lot of stuff to do. And now I'm going to look up Ozymandias, because I can't have that on my mind and not know if she won a thing for that. And yeah, she won for Ozymandias.
Well, she's got lots of trophies to prove that she did a good job.
She got a lot of trophies. She smokes the shit out of cigarettes.
Do you think it was a lot to do with the smoking that she won the Emmys?
Yeah. I don't know if she smokes next episode, though.
When does she start? I need to know when she decides to take up smoking. That's...
I'll say this. It's actually a pretty big thing in the episode where it happens. And we won't get to it for a while. But so, yeah, it's addressed. And I'm actually very excited to talk about it because did I imagine her smoking would become a big part of our podcast? No, I didn't. I'm happy it did because it'll give us a lot to chew on in like 8 months.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a thing to imagine that she will make a conscious choice as an adult woman to take up smoking when she had not previously smoked that I'm really excited to learn more about it.
Yeah, for sure.
So what happens after Smoking Lady smokes? Because I was just so blown away. I guess we go to the actual heist itself or no?
Yeah. Well, it ends with she kind of says something a little shitty where she was like, "What were you out doing? Burying bodies."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, are you trying to get him? And
I mean, so do you feel like she's, I don't think you do, but do you feel like her kind of demands of keeping the kids out of the house are justified in this?
Oh, I think they're 100% justified.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, we can kind of dig into this like in the earlier episodes once we get to them. There was a lot of like internet hate for Skylar because she's just always kind of like, the perception was like a nagging wife who gets in Walter's way. I never got that. I always thought everything was justified.
Yeah.
I just don't like this one comment. I was like, you kind of won that argument. And then you kind of were like, what are you doing, burying bodies? No, that was kind of stupid. I thought you mic dropped earlier and you should have ended it there. Because he had the perfect response, which was robbing a train, which is a really fucking cool thing to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she went from on top to like she neutral with him at the end of that.
And that's just unfortunate.
Holy shit.
What?
I'm on the Wikipedia.
Oh.
And this episode was originally titled Dark Territory, but was changed to avoid confusion with the film Under Siege 2 Dark Territory.
Well, there you go. That divergence was more on topic than you intended, I think.
Coincidentally, that film also features actor Jonathan Banks, who's Mike. That's fun.
That is,
I didn't know
fun.
That.
I wonder if Jonathan Banks is like, they keep pulling me back into these dark territory movies. Like,
I'm good. I'm good at train stuff.
I thought, so then we go right from the robbing a bank comment to, or I'm sorry, not robbing a bank, but robbing a train comment to robbing the setup for the actual train robbery and the mm-hmm. train robbery itself.
And I have one thing to say mm-hmm. about this. So good.
So I liked the amount of Bill Burr we got. I liked everything
we got a lot
about Bill Burr in this episode, I think.
Yeah, he really shows his you can tell he made it to Second City Conservatory, not just the A3E program.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he was improving his way out of a really sticky situation.
I love just the clothes they put him in. That was kind of
ridiculous.
How do you...
A dumb little cowboy.
Yeah, I was like, so I think, you know, I've seen a lot of Bill Burr lately because, well, I watch F is for Family, which I think just recently debuted its fourth season. And then I also...
That show's really good.
Yeah, it's the most grounded most grounded cartoon I've ever seen. And then I also watch Mandalorian, and he's in an episode of Mandalorian.
That episode of Mandalorian made me stop watching The Mandalorian.
Is it because of how fucking jarring, like, Bill Burr is a boss?
No, I like him. He's fine. Is that the prison episode?
It's where they are, like, pulling off a heist, actually.
Yeah, that episode just... I didn't like it that much. And then that episode happened, and I just thought all the other characters were so dumb, and it felt like I was watching the Power Rangers, like, with how bad the acting was. And I was like, this sucks. And I just stopped watching it. And I got in an argument with all my coworkers, because... I like Star Wars shit. I like the world. Yeah. But I'm just like, calling balls and strikes. There are more bad Star Wars things than good Star Wars things. And everyone was like, The Mandalorian's like the best Star Wars thing that we've had in forever. And I was very excited. And I watched it, and I was like, no, this is one of the bad Star Wars things. This sucks.
Well, I think the thing I found really jarring about The Mandalorian was, like, you go from having Werner Herzog and then in the same universe exists Bill Burr. And I was like, I never thought that I'd ever
and
see.
And Brian Posehn.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so bizarre to have, like, and I'm on board with these robot assassins, and I'm on board with all the different weird Muppet babies they have in it, but then they've got, like, Bill Burr with a Boston accent in space, and I just can't handle it. Yeah. I don't know. So anyways, this version of Bill Burr as a cute little cowboy, though, I find ridiculous but more palatable as, like, a cute little Boston cowboy fucking ginger and, like, with a broken down truck for no reason.
Can I ask one more question about The Mandalorian, sure. actually? There was one episode I did like. It was my favorite one of, because I stopped at the prison break episode and I saw everyone before that. And they had one where they had this kind of kick-ass lady bounty hunter, and then they helped a small town, which very much felt like a, like, Xena Warrior Princess episode where he's just out adventuring and sees a band of locals that need his help, which that was kind of cool. Does she come back? Because I liked her a lot.
Okay, so here's the thing about me is I'm a pretty passive watcher of things. So I think, yes, I think she does come back at the... I'm almost certain she's a pretty big part of the end.
Okay, so she was my favorite part. And then my least favorite part, I think, was maybe the next episode when they had that one fucking douchebag sitting in Han Solo's position in the cantina, and he was like, couldn't act. It was like a guy trying to be Han Solo.
Oh, yeah. That, he was like a young gun guy, yeah.
And he was, I was like, you're worse than the shitty young Han Solo they had in the movie, Solo, who wasn't a good Han Solo.
I didn't see that
You're
one.
A worse version
yeah.
of him.
So,
it was so bad.
I don't think The Mandalorian was that great, but...
Sorry for dunking on it if you did like it. I don't mean to mansplain a Star Wars thing at you.
Me? Or just the audience?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm both, because it feels like anytime a guy is aggressively talking about Star Wars, it feels icky, and I just did that.
Well, I think you know that I'm not, like, a huge Star Wars fan, that's just, like, not my fandom at all. Yeah. Like,
do you know what I like about Star
Wars? What
do
you like about Star Wars?
I like, there's a lot of good Star Wars video games over the
years. I've been playing Battlefront and Battlefront 2, and holy crap, those are so fun.
The old ones or the new ones?
Well, I think Battlefront was from 2015, so I guess the new ones.
That's the new one. I haven't played the new ones. So, yeah, they had old ones that are, like, third person, and they're, like, really old. They're, like, from 2003. And then they rebooted it. And I really want to play the new ones, but I don't have a Xbox One.
Oh, yeah. Well, I played Star Wars Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront 2 of the new ones. And they are great. And in some of the, like, missions you can unlock, you can just be... like Darth Vader and the Emperor, and just go and, like, electrocute and strangle people from afar. It's great.
Wait, what are you playing it on?
An Xbox One.
You have an Xbox One?
I got it. It's okay. Well,
when did you get an Xbox?
During I got it from a friend during, like, this whole thing to keep the kids entertained, because I couldn't get, like, nice. Disney Plus and stuff like that on my.
I can watch. I'm watching your face actively want to switch back to Breaking Bad, and I keep bringing it back to other bullshit.
I also want to say that I don't really like Star Wars stuff, so you can dunk on Star Wars as much as you want. And okay, watched The Mandalorian just so, because everybody kept crowing about it, and then I was like,
yeah, everyone was. It got so much crow.
It got a lot of people crowing. Yeah.
And I was very excited, and apparently season 2 is going to be really good. I don't know. I probably won't watch it. Okay. They rob a train. All right. That's the end of that scene.
That's it. We're done. Everything goes according to plan.
They rob a train. It works out.
Yeah. I liked Bill Burr. I liked Bill Burr trying to, improv his way, like, hiya, fellas. Boy, oh boy, am I sure having a hard time, but I can't do the Boston accent. Can you do the Boston accent?
He legit, Bill Burr legit sounds like my Jesse impression. It's like, well, geez, guys, oh, boy. Hey, do you guys know anything about engines? Of course you do. Yeah, engineers. which is kind of cute. And then Mike got the cushiest job of just lookout.
Yeah, way to be a decrepit old man, Mike. You get to stand in the bushes.
Yeah, and he's, I guess, because Walt can't see Bill Burr, so they need someone to explain what Bill Burr's up to.
Yeah.
And so that happens. Todd goes on top, Jesse goes on bottom. There's a nice Native American man drives by and
gets Bill Burr's car off the road, which is bad.
I feel like we're racing through this. You know, Bill Burr.
You're right. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Well, so it seems like, let me give it a shot. It seems like initially Bill Burr is succeeding at the plan. He has a lot of fail safes. Like, they look at the engine, everything's fine. And they're like, okay, go try and flip it now. And then he flips a switch in his car. I didn't understand what this was because I don't know trucks. But you said it's a choke or something? I don't know.
I think it might be a choke. That's the only term I know for what that could possibly
be. But, like, what's the purpose of having that? If, like, your engine's going...
Oh, geez. Okay, I'm going to sound stupid. It's a choke is, like, it's something you wouldn't keep on. It's, like, something you, like, prime. And then, like, to, like... do like prime the choke a couple times and then try the engine, but he just kept it in like the bad position. Yeah. And I think I don't know.
Okay,
guys, I'm sorry. Cars are just what a mess.
Cars are very confusing. I completely understand.
Mm-hmm. And they smell, and everyone around them are usually aggressive. And I've tried to learn, and I can't. And thank you, NASCAR, for getting rid of the Confederate flag this week. Okay.
And so then Bill Burr, they try pushing it while everything is going pretty much according to plan. So they try pushing it. Bill Burr has a solution for that. They try all sorts of stuff. And then, yes, a nice Native American shows up with a big old fucking truck and is like, oh, what a place to break down. I can help you. And Bill Burr is trying to, like, stall even longer. And the engineers are like, we're running late because of you, pal.
Yeah, they're jerks.
Yeah.
I do wish they're pushing the car, and Bill Burr says, like, you did remember to put it in neutral, right? And he says, like, of course I did. Give me a little credit. But I wish he would have been like, my bad.
Ooh, let me check. And then, like, yeah, wasted a lot more time.
I am such a dedoy. My bad.
But then this got really infuriating. I was, like, yelling at my computer because I really didn't like how... You know, they're at, like, 860 gallons of methylamine, and Mike is like, hey, cut it, get your men off of that train. And Walt is like, no, we're not at 1,000 yet. And I guess, you know, I understand that Walt is super far gone at this point, but it didn't make any goddamn sense why he would risk possibly getting found out just to get extra methylamine, you know?
I think he just wanted a nice even number, which I understand.
Okay.
So I'm a little more in Walt's corner at this point. It would bother the hell out of me if I had like 947 gallons of methylamine.
But but wouldn't it bother you more to be like have a dead partner or people that catch you for stealing the methylamine?
You think it would, but it would bother me way more to have a weird number on that.
That's
on that tracker. Ask any one of my family members, they'll tell you.
Okay, so we'll just say that,
like, Adam's fucking annoying with shit like that.
Walt's super anal retentive. I remember when you were building that bed that one time, and my neighbors from downstairs were like yelling at us to like stop building the bed at night. And this is a silly story, but like you were like, I don't want to have an incompleted project. This is bothering me.
I was pissed off. For listeners, I love putting together IKEA furniture more than almost anything. It's like it's like a Lego project that's actually useful when it's done. And actually, when I'm done with this, I have to go over to my dad's house and help him put together a bunch of furniture he just got. And I am looking forward to it. He called me with like, hey, can you do me a favor? I just need some help. And I was like, shut up. What time? I'll be there. I love doing it so much. We were putting. I was putting together a fucking bunk bed for your kids. I got one done, and I got the other one half done, and your punk-ass neighbors, apparently I was making too much noise, and they, like, called you, and we're like, we're gonna call the cops unless you stop making a bed for your children, and I had to stop, and I was furious.
They didn't say they were gonna call the cops. They did. I answered the door, and the first thing they said to me was like, hi, we're doctors, and I was like, oh, well, can you come in here and fix this? Because this thing's just super complicated. No. And anyways, I don't think she realized I had children, and I don't know that, like, I just was super confused by the whole situation, like, well, I don't know how to help you, huh? We need to build this bed. But yeah, the fact that we had to stop was frustrating and bad. And let's not ever do that again. Let's never stop building a bed if we're in the middle of building one.
No. I wish we would have put on loud music after that. Fuck them. I hope they're listeners of this podcast right now.
If you have ever in the past told some lady to stop making noise, we're talking about you.
Yep, we're talking about you. And you live in Marina yeah. Del Rey.
But then Then once it finally reaches 1,000, but not before the train starts actively, like, rolling forward, you know, Walt calls everybody off the train, and you see, like, Jesse struggling to get stuff fixed on the bottom of the train, and Todd struggling to get everything set on top of the train. Jesse has to lay down on the railroad, like, so the train can go over him, and Todd has to climb down and jump off of a moving train. It's just as he described it in that one episode at the diner, where we see the other Nazis.
We don't really know Todd's a Nazi here.
Or he's Nazi adjacent, as we've said before.
Right, he's Nazi adjacent. He's, like, he's curious.
Yeah. He's Nazi flexible, I think is what you would call it.
Mm-hmm. Although that jump from the train, it was on a little slope. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, that wasn't as... So the way that it was described in previous episodes, I, for one, thought this happened at night. I, too, thought that, like, it was some no-shit, like, Tom Cruise in, like, Mission Impossible type of stunts they were doing. And those were the only things that were different. And I thought maybe the truck was a bigger truck. The truck that...
It's two old-ass men, a Nazi, and, like, a drug addict. Like, I didn't know why you thought that.
I don't know. I sometimes think... I just imagine things to be a lot more spectacular than they are. I don't know.
I'm guilty of that, too.
Then they are all celebrating, and, you know, Jesse's all pumped up and yelling, like, yeah, bitch, all over the place.
Yep.
And Todd is, like, happily... like stomping his feet, it, like, you know, when, like, little dog terriers get excited, he's kind of shaking his butt a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Walt is happy, and then they all turn around and see Drew Sharp on his dirt bike, and Drew's just kind of standing there waving at them. And then everybody stares at him for a while, and then just out of nowhere, Todd pulls out his gun and shoots him. And it was like, oh no.
Aww. And you knew exactly what was going to happen, so it was a little sadder for you, because you, when I watched it, I was like, how are they going to deal with this? And then it just comes again. I was like, whoa! But I mean, you had the information beforehand that the next episode opens with a dead body.
I definitely can see how this was a turning point for Jesse now.
Yeah, like this is Jesse's like a different character for the rest of the show.
Because in this episode, he seems mentally stable. He seems like very capable of making decisions and having an opinion, and he doesn't seem like as spastic. I don't know how else to put it. Like, this scene definitely destroys him, I think, for the rest of the series. And what they have to do next.
Because then they have to, the next episode he quits. The episode after that, Walt, like, kind of doesn't let him quit. And then Jesse just walks away from all the money. The episode after that, he hears about all, like, the murders Walt did, and, like, they haven't talked in, like, 6 months, and Walt drops money off his house, and you find, like, I don't know if you remember that scene, and Jesse was super scared. You found out the whole time Walt was talking to him, like, he had a gun on him the whole time, just, like, scared him. And then you go into the second half, where then he throws all that money out the window and is just, like, a kind of basket case the whole time. So, yeah, this is a huge... Yeah, now you get happy, Jesse.
Yeah, well, because even he starts using drugs again, and apparently he was off of drugs for a little bit. Like, now, yeah, I get to see a different type of man, I guess. I don't know.
But let's talk about the heroes.
And the very last shot is the tarantula in the glass jar.
Tarantula.
I went, icky. Why?
Yeah. It's gross. He's going to put that on his babysitter's pillow. But let's talk about the heroes, the
under fives,
the people, the under fives, the ones who make this episode really, really crackle and fizz. I think, who's Fernando? I don't know who that was.
Fernando. Oh, I remember Fernando being called out. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not going to count him. I think it's the guy who was digging the hole for them. He was in, like, the crane operator thing. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Fernando. You don't have a line. Get out of here. Okay. We got, first of all, Jamie McShane playing conductor. Although, did he have more than five lines? I don't know. I
think he did.
Well, we're going to talk about he's a working actor. Holy shit. He is in everything. He does not need our bump, but I think we might need his bump. Jamie, come on our podcast. You've been in every television show for the last 10 years.
Good for you, Jamie.
He's been in a bunch of Ben Affleck movies too, including Argo and Gone Girl.
Maybe he's friends with Ben.
Maybe. He's in some show called SEAL Team. He's in Star Trek Picard. He's in The Passage, which is a show I don't know about. And he's in Bosch. So good call for being in Bosch. One of the best shows ever.
Do you watch that show?
No, I don't watch Bosch. No one watches Bosch. Have you watched
Bosch? No, wait, Bosch, right? Like, the one that's on, like, Amazon Prime or something?
It's on Amazon Prime. And it stars the man in black from the last season of Lost. Spoilers.
Once that show started coming out, I was making a lot of, like, Hieronymus Bosch jokes. And people, that's, like, not in a lot of people's wheelhouses. But I was like, if they don't have an episode called The Garden of Earthly Delights, I'm going to throw my TV out the fucking window. And guess what? That didn't get a lot of likes on Twitter.
I don't even get the joke, but I'm glad you made it.
It's a very important painting by Hieronymus Bosch. So I thought it was going to be about, or at least make reference to the fact that there's like a famous artist named Hieronymus Bosch. But guess what? I don't think it does. Anyways, go forth.
Well, next we have Mick Watford. So the other guy, he was playing a character named Conductor. Mm. Mick Watford's playing a character named Engineer.
So it's
the other guy.
Yeah.
he was in a little movie called Spider-Man. Heard of it? The original from 2002. Oh. He played Cop on Fire.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no. Cop at Fire. Okay, so he was just a cop at Fire.
I remember that scene.
Oh, so was he the guy who talks to Spider-Man and is like, you know, when you get down here, I got to arrest you. And then Spider-Man's like, not coming down, Chief.
Probably. I remember that. And then he goes, go.
And he's in a bunch of... Yeah, he's in a bunch of shit, too. He was in the Lethal Weapon TV show. He was in... he was in Bosch.
No, he was not.
He was in one episode of Bosch.
Is it the same one?
With... I don't know. He was in one episode as Captain Larry Gamble. And he's a bunch of Law & Order. And he's in Bones.
Okay.
And he's in any show like CSI or Law & Order, he's been
in.
He's got like a
crime drama look to him.
He's been CSI Miami, all the other CSIs. Good for you. Please come on our show. What was his name again? Mick Watford. We want you on our show. Fernando, sorry, Fernando. We can't talk about you. you featured extra. Also, you haven't really been anything since this episode, so... I don't feel that bad. Then we got Mary Sue Evans, who plays Janice, who was that lady who said, Hank,
his line secretary, two. Yeah.
Oh, I guess she's been in a few. We've seen her a couple times.
Take it back.
Sorry. She was in an episode from earlier that we've already watched, and she's in one episode in like two seasons. So, sorry, you're a reoccurring person. Do we want to talk about Drew Sharp?
I mean... He doesn't have any lines, but he has an awful lot of screen time. He has a whole scene where it's just him and a spider. So I think that he is not an under five, but I think he might be a guest star. Let's look at his credits. Let's see.
Well, he's not. He doesn't have a lot. He's young. Oh my God! Yeah, no, he hasn't been in a movie since. He hasn't been in anything since 2014.
Oh, so he was.
So he might have stopped.
It seems like he's focusing on himself right now.
And in that movie, he was a. Transcendence, do you remember that?
Oh, the Hawaii movie?
No.
Oh, that's The Descendants, isn't it?
That's my dad's favorite movie. Wow. No, Transcendence was Christopher Nolan's brother decided to direct a movie. And he made Westworld, and he's a cool guy, and he, like, wrote a lot of Christopher Nolan's movies, but he decided to direct one called Transcendence, starring, Johnny Depp. That I actually thought looked really good, and it was apparently really bad. But he plays Red Hooded Teenager, so I don't know. Drew, come on. Work hard. What's his name? His name is Sam.
Get it together, Sam.
Come on our podcast. We would love to have you. You seem like you'd probably be an adult now. And then finally, my favorite, Ryan Begay, as Good Samaritan.
What?
The Good Samaritan, the guy who pumped him off the tracks.
Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah, he was a Good Samaritan. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He had a cool good truck. He was in that new Sicario movie. He was in a... Oh, man. His first credit... He's, like, old. He looked older, but his first credit wasn't until, like, 2012. Oh. This is his third credit. So, yeah, he was really getting started.
Good for him.
When this came out. Good for you. And he's been in... Dude, you've been working... You've been working ever since.
Keep it up.
We'd love you on our podcast. You're in some new show called Roswell, New Mexico as Wolf. That seems dope.
Good job, dude.
All right. Well, that's all. That's all of that. All right, that took longer than usual. So I'm sorry.
Wait,
audience,
we got some cuts to make, so it was okay.
No, I'm not cutting a
no,
goddamn
please.
Thing. Fine, I'll cut a bunch of
okay,
stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Meg, what grade do you give this episode?
This was an action-packed episode.
Yeah, it was a little more self-contained.
Yeah, this one was pretty fun. So I think if I had to, I'd probably give this like a B+.
God damn it. All right, so you're just doing the
no,
bit now.
No, I mean...
To piss me off. You've given all of them a B+.
Okay, let's really break this down. How are we supposed to evaluate this? So this is a, you know, it's a good episode for... There's a train heist. There's dirt bike tricks. There's a lady smoking.
It's not horny at
all. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that's really working.
It's the least horny episode ever.
Is that I haven't seen anyone in their underwear. I haven't seen any Bob Odenkirk. Those things affect it.
I think Bill Burr is pretty attractive in a very Odenkirkian way.
You mean like a clunky
that?
White guy type of way?
Yeah.
I yes, but oh, but he was so cute in that outfit.
He was cute in that outfit, and he's hot right now because King of Staten Island just came out, and apparently he's really
is
good
he?
In it. Apparently, I haven't seen it yet. I need to check it out.
Okay, I'll give this one an A.
Thank God. Okay. It's a really good episode of television.
It is a fun episode of television, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta stop yelling at you about the grades. Oh, God. God, boy.
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, fucking share our podcast.
You
God
should like
it.
With subscribe.
Your friends.
Subscribe.
We gotta be tough. We gotta be tough on them. Fucking, God damn it. If you didn't like this, go like this
please
right now.
Please like this right now, or I'm gonna have my feelings hurt.
If I don't get... 5 more 5-star reviews this week. I can't eat.
And he's very finicky about his eating, so he'll do it.
So you better fucking like us.
We only feel validated through your approval. So
this started off as just like, oh, we don't care how many people listen to this because this is just Adam and Meg, two friends having fun. Then we finally got like a little bit of approval in that first week, and we got addicted to it. And now we want to be the next This American Life, and we need your help to do that.
I think that that's probably our future, is to be both the new Ira Glasses.
Yeah, we're a pair of Ira Glasses. It's two for the price of one. You can get one glass on that dumb show, and get two with
a
us.
A pair of Ira Glasses that are, I think, much hornier, but I can't say for sure.
Ira Glass, yeah, love him to death, but kind of a wet blanket.
Or...
Doesn't talk about...
Us.
Or what?
Constant party time.
Oh, just the driest blanket ever, yes. Us. Yeah.
All right, check out Lauren
but
Sharpe's Twitter.
Also wet.
LL Cool Sharp.
Yeah, check out Lauren Sharpe's Twitter, LL Cool Sharp. She hasn't listened to our podcast yet, so I don't even know if I want to keep pitching that.
I'm going to keep pitching it because I like the bit.
Okay, all right. It is a fun bit. That's great. Check out Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, if you haven't gotten a chance. If you need more train stuff to help. I mean, more train stuff and more mic to tide you over. This might be our longest episode since our pilot. But it's probably our most relaxed episode.
We're definitely just two friends hanging out in separate closets.
It helps that, I'm in a closet for the first time. But yeah, until next week.
I'm
good
Heisenberg to you.
To you, fair listener.
Bye-bye.